Our reading today comes from a lot of different stories and songs, with apologies. Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do! Peanut, peanut butter, and jelly, jelly. Be kind to your web-footed friends, for a duck may be somebody's mother. Be kind to the denizens of the swamp, for the weather is very, very damp. Oh no, I'm being swallowed by a boa constrictor. Oh no, it's up to my toe, oh chagrin, it's up to my shin, oh fiddle, it's up to my middle, oh heck, it's up to my neck, oh dread, it's up to my... On top of spaghetti. All covered with vegan cheese. I lost my poor tofurkey meatball when somebody sneezed. When you put your right foot in, and you put your right foot out, what if the hokey pokey is what it's all about? I did say with apologies. The internet is a fascinating thing. We can learn so much about people all over the world. We can also get misinformation pretty easily, especially with quotes and memes, those square things that have words in the middle of them, or pictures and words. Quotes get attributed to Dr. King and Gandhi, Mother Teresa and the Buddha and other sources, when with a little more research we can find out that no, actually, indeed, they did not say those things. Somebody else did. Today's theme, campfire wisdom, sleeping with a mosquito, was either inspired by an African proverb, if you think you are too small to make a difference, you haven't spent the night with a mosquito. Or perhaps it was the Dalai Lama who said, if you think you are too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito. We probably can't really know without some seriously deep research. And our focus today, though, is reminding ourselves and one another that as small as we may sometimes feel, each of us really can make a difference. This is campfire wisdom. Camps for decades have been places people go, usually but not always, in the summer. Sometimes it's summer camp, a week-long or whole summer experience for kids. Sometimes it's a family camp, like the camping trip this weekend, or the UU Camp de Benneville Pines down in Big Bear in Southern California, or CBEC Conference Center up in Washington. Any of you ever been to camp? A few heads, yep. There are all kinds of stories and movies about the summer camp experience. Most of them include some kind of camp song or being around the fire singing old camp songs. It can be easy to get overwhelmed sometimes, though, right? We see those depictions, or maybe you yourself the first time, if you ever went to summer camp, felt a little overwhelmed with all that was going on, maybe overwhelmed by the choices, overwhelmed by being away from home for the first time. And those of us who didn't go to summer camp, we might just think about the times when we have felt that way, when we have felt overwhelmed with all that is. We might hide our light under a bushel in those times. It can be easy to criticize or complain about our lives or about others. It can be so tempting to whine and pout or to feel sorry for ourselves. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm gonna eat some worms. It's the only place I can imagine that song came from. Campfire wisdom, though, says, go ahead, have a pity party, but not for long. There's work to do. And look at this beautiful fire. Listen to these crickets. Taste those yummy s'mores we just made. Way better than worms.
When camping, it can be helpful to have a little ingenuity, as something can often go wrong, or the weather suddenly changes. You've forgotten something, or it's colder than you thought it would be, or it's noisier, or...
There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, a hole. Well, fix it, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry, then fix it, dear Henry, fix it.
Now, when faced with such a challenge, what shall we do? If we operate as only ourselves, we think we're alone and we have to figure out how to fix the bucket all by ourselves. And sometimes that works, but sometimes it's better to be able to ask for some guidance or assistance.
With what shall I fix it, dear Liza, with what shall I fix it, dear Liza, with what?
Now, if you had a bucket right now and it had a hole in it, what would you do?
Get a new bucket.
Get a new bucket. There we go. Yeah. Do any of you have bucket fixing experience?
A few.
Uh-huh. I seriously lack in the bucket fixing experience realm. But we can come up with all kinds of ideas and suggestions for how someone might be able to do it. We could check with someone who thinks that they know, someone like Liza.
Withdraw, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry, withdraw, dear Henry, withdraw. Now, at this point, if I was fixing the bucket, I would go to Google for bucket fixing material recommendations and see what is recommended there. And that brings us full circle, just like the song does, with what should I cut the straw, with a knife or an axe, depending on the version you learned. But the knife is, axe is too dull, well, then sharpen it. But the stone is too dry, then wet it. With what shall I wet it? With water, dear Henry, but there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza. Yeah. When we use Google or any other search engine, or when we ask people in our lives who generally know stuff, it isn't always right. Sometimes it is just what someone else's guess is or their opinion, and they pass it on as fact, as if we aren't, and if we aren't paying close enough attention, even people with good intentions can take us off course. To me, doing an internet search needs to have our fourth principle included, also known on Joan's shirt, a responsible search for truth and meaning.
Life in a congregation can require a bit of responsible search as well. Sometimes that search is within each of us. What do I believe? What do I know, or think that I know, at least in this moment? How do I know it? How do I know it is true? Is it true just for me, or do other people share that perspective, hold that truth? Is it a lovely story that I'm telling myself, or is that perspective shared? How do we know when what we know is right? This was why I studied philosophy. I love those kinds of things. What does it feel like in my body when I find something that resonates as true? Sometimes that search is with one another. Coming to a worship service, learning in a class, participating on the board or a committee meeting, celebrating someone's life, or marching or singing for justice. One of the blessings of community is that when we each show up, each with our particular gifts, we are so much more creative and effective than when we are alone. I don't know how to fix a leak in a bucket or in the roof, but Bob Niblack does. And if he doesn't, as the chair of Buildings and Grounds, he's going to find someone who can. I'm not so good at spreadsheets, but Rhonda and Gary Kerner are brilliant with them. And while I can sing enthusiastically, I'm really grateful for the actual musical skills that are regularly shared here. Like the little beans that we heard about in our story, the beans that couldn't grow because they'd been covered with furniture polish. Beloved, community isn't created when folks think that they need to show up all polished, all shiny on the outside and unable to actually grow. We are blessed when each of us can share the real potential and gifts that we bring, leading, participating, giving, and receiving. That is shared ministry. Sometimes our search for meaning is mostly internal, like dealing with the mosquito that is inside your tent, making our own hearts peaceful, releasing judgment, until we're ready to check in with people and have a conversation. It is a practice, and there isn't a right way to do it. To make a peaceful world, we need to start with ourselves and have the courage to address conflicts outside of us. We are so grateful for when that happens here. Unitarian Universalism teaches each of us through the seven principles, our theologies and our practices, that we are all welcome, that we all have inherent worth and dignity, that we strive for kindness and peace and justice. And as our children and youth shared last week, that finding truth and meaning is a journey, and we each have a part.
As the African-American spiritual reminds us, we're gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside and study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more.
Building beloved community that respects diversities, whether that's here at SFUU or at Standing Rock. It is a lot like camping. It can be a lot of work. It can feel like you're laying on the hard and cold ground or sitting in a soggy tent in the rain or with blisters on our feet backpacking. It's also relaxing and life-giving, like the incredible peace and quiet as the fire crackles, as coffee and cocoa are poured, sitting and reading a book as the birds sing, or running around camp playing with friends, learning about nature and woodworking and crafts and kick the can and hide and go seek. Or see.
Day, we were the first to arrive. That was a first also. The first to arrive and prepared a spot to set up our tent and a spot for Lynn's sister Sue and our daughter Megan as we would all be sharing one campsite together. We looked up at the tall trees as the sun peeked through and got a little teary knowing this was our last family camping trip for a while. Yeah. One of the camping traditions there is to make toastites.
And our toastite maker is still in the trunk.
Sorry,
we tried.
Some of you know them as pie tins. But they have this sort of risen the toastite creation to an art form. Now, Sue is always the first person up. Always. Always, right? Like all probably every camping trip for 30 years, she has always been the first one up. And she starts the fire. Eventually, Lynn and their other sister, Terry, make their way to the fire and read from their book or Kindle while they drink their coffee. Eventually, we all make our way from our various tents and sort of crawl out and different campsites to this beautiful shared fire, carrying various containers of ingredients. There's actually a special table for the toastite fixings. This group knows how to eat while car camping. This is a special table. They set it up, you know, table, containers, all kinds of containers. There's been sautéed mushrooms, there's been onion dip, there's bacon, scrambled eggs, capers, sautéed tofu, avocado, caramelized onions, pesto, cheese, and usually leftover salmon from Friday night's first shared meal. And then the sweet fixings include chocolate chips and pie filling and peanut butter, and it's really quite quite something. So usually it's a piece of bread that you olive oil on the metal toast iron, you know, they're this way, or they're round. You olive oil it. You put a piece of bread in. You start putting your fixings on. Put the other piece of bread in. Put the other toast set on, and you stick it in the fire. A few years ago, Steph, who will be in the next picture you see, brought raw tortillas. And that apparently was a revolution. Now everyone's like, are you bringing the raw tortillas? Because they fold perfectly well inside the pie tin, and they hold everything in, so stuff's not leaking out the sides of the pie tin. I, on the other hand, have our little cardboard toast diet because I use gluten-free vegan bread. But it works. It holds. It sits in there. And it's just kind of cool. The goal is to get it all in there and then have it look like that, perfectly toasted. That's our daughter Megan, for folks who don't know. And Steph is to the left of the curly-haired one. And it's fascinating, particularly as my first time there, and now it's just humorous, how competition begins to sink in and seep in. Oh, Dave, you burnt yours again. Dave burns his all the time. And also how cooperation flows in. Are you sure that's the best place for the pie iron? And wow, that looks delicious. What did you put in it? Don't cook it any longer. It's going to burn. It's a very beautiful shared ritual is what it feels like to me. A ritual to sit around the campfire a little sleepy and just eating yummy things together.
Campfire wisdom, like Unitarian Universalism, invites us to consider what we can do to make the world a better place. The African proverb, which we wish we could name the specific country or the wise teacher, reminds us that if you've ever spent the night with a mosquito, you know that one small voice or one small action can make a big difference. Unitarian Edward Everett Hale said, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do.
And as the campfire of our time together begins to wane, like that last night at camp when most of us want to stay up late and tell stories and eat and drink and not have to go home back to work or back to school, it is nearly time for us to say goodbye. And so around the chalice campfire, we sing this song. You may know it in different versions.
A deer and her fawn in the meadow. For 30 summers, my sisters and I, my two older sisters and their families have been camping along with their close friends at the Big Sur campground on Memorial Day and Labor Day weekends. The cousins and friends grew up together. The adults grew close together over those 30 years. Tubing in the river, hiking out to the beach, and of course, sitting around the campfire. I only made it to one of those camping trips during the time that I lived up in Oregon, and so it was a really special treat to be able to return to camp under the big trees when I started seminary. In 2006, the second year that we were in seminary, I camped there and sat by the river and told my sisters about a fantastic person that I had met who I couldn't wait for them to meet.
And magically, I was warmly welcomed into the family and into the family camping trips. This past Memorial Day, we were the first to arrive. That was a first also. The first to arrive and prepared a spot to set up our tent and a spot for Lynn's sister Sue and our daughter Megan, as we would all be sharing one campsite together. We looked up at the tall trees as the sun peeked through and got a little teary, knowing this was our last family camping trip for a while. Yeah. One of the camping traditions there is to make toastites.
And our toastite maker is still in the trunk.
We tried. Some of you know them as pie tins. But they have this sort of risen the toastite creation to an art form. Now, Sue is always the first person up. Always. Always, right? Like all probably every camping trip for 30 years, she has always been the first one up. And she starts the fire. Eventually, Lynn and their other sister, Terry, make their way to the fire and read from their book or Kindle while they drink their coffee. Eventually, we all make our way from our various tents and sort of crawl out and different campsites to this beautiful shared fire, carrying various containers of ingredients. There's actually a special table for the toastite fixings. This group knows how to eat while car camping. This is a special table. They set it up, like, you know, table. Containers, all kinds of containers. There's been sautéed mushrooms, there's been onion dip, there's bacon, scrambled eggs, capers, sautéed tofu, avocado, caramelized onions, pesto, cheese, and usually leftover salmon from Friday night's first shared meal. And then the sweet fixings include chocolate chips and pie filling and peanut butter, and it's really quite something. So usually it's a piece of bread that you olive oil on the metal toast iron. You know, they're this way or they're round. You olive oil it. You put a piece of bread in. You start putting your fixings on. Put the other piece of bread in. Put the other toast set on and you stick it in the fire. A few years ago, Steph, who will be in the next picture you see, brought raw tortillas. And that apparently was a revolution. Now everyone's like, are you bringing the raw tortillas? Because they fold perfectly well inside the pie tin, and they hold everything in so stuff's not leaking out the sides of the pie tin. I, on the other hand, have our little cardboard toastite because I use gluten-free vegan bread. But it works. It holds. It sits in there. And it's just kind of cool. The goal is to get it all in there and then have it look like that, perfectly toasted. That's our daughter, Megan, for folks who don't know. And Steph is to the left of the curly-haired one. And it's fascinating, particularly as my first time there, and now it's just humorous, how competition begins to sink in and seep in. Oh, Dave, you burnt yours again. Dave burns his all the time. And also how cooperation flows in. Are you sure that's the best place for the pie iron? And wow. That looks delicious. What did you put in it? Don't cook it any longer. It's going to burn. It's a very beautiful shared ritual is what it feels like to me. A ritual to sit around the campfire a little sleepy and just eating yummy things together.
Campfire wisdom, like Unitarian Universalism, invites us to consider what we can do to make the world a better place. The African proverb, which we wish we could name the specific country or the wise teacher, reminds us that if you've ever spent the night with a mosquito, you know that one small voice or one small action can make a big difference. Unitarian Edward Everett Hale said, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do.
And as the campfire of our time together begins to wane, like that last night at camp when most of us want to stay up late and tell stories and eat and drink and not have to go home and back to work or back to school, it is nearly time for us to say goodbye. And so around the chalice campfire, we sing this song. You may know it in different versions. Mm-hmm.